maybe we'll be Messiah the Aches Chayil today. Apropos of this, I just want to say that you know, the composer of the most famous Nigun for Aches Chayil, not Aches Chayil, is Ben Sion Schenker, who's a Magister Chassid, and he just celebrated his 88th birthday. And there was an interview in the Jewish press with Ben Sion Schenker. He's a very chassid person. And they just asked him, you know, you're Aches Chayil, like everybody in the world sings that Nigun. And he only wrote it in 1955 or something. He says, what Nigun did they used to sing Aches Chayil to? So he said, when he was growing up, they said Aches Chayil, but there was no, literally no Nigun at all. So there was talking no Nigun. It was come out the first Nigun for Aches Chayil. It's a bit of a idiom. But anyway, we're up to Pei, Pasuk Chafot. Pia Pascha Bechachma. Her mouth is open in Chachma, the Tairas Chesed Al Lashayna. Now again, as I say, we will consistently have the problem, who is the she, who is the her, in other words, who is the Aches Chayil? Again, the Gra learns, of course, that it's all going on Torah, but as I say, in most of the Peshatim, the Aches Chayil is the Talmud Chacham, who is married to the Torah, who has been kind of the Torah in the Mem Ches Terachim, which is the gematria of Chayil. Occasionally, the Gra will go with a different halach, that the she is the Torah itself, she is the woman of Valor, and the husband is the Talmud Chacham. But in this pasuk, again, it's hard to know what the Gra's own day is, because Rav Nachum Mendel sometimes brings it in different ways, but in this pasuk, it is going on the Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham is the she, and Pascha B'Chachma, the Grash Del Su, the Gemara that says, no matter what the Talmud Chacham says, is filled with Chachma, and this is the statement that even the Sichas Chulin of a Talmud Chacham is something you can learn from. Meaning to say, even when the Talmud Chacham is Tamasai talking Mili Dialma, although the Gra didn't do too much of that anyway, but even when the Talmud Chacham is Isaac and Sichas Chulin, there are things that we learn. The Talmaiser of Gutzman, you heard of Rav Gutzman. Rav Gutzman was the Rosh Hashiva of Netzach Yisrael in Rechavia. But Netzach Yisrael was a small yeshiva, wasn't it? It's still going on. It was never a big yeshiva. It's not a big yeshiva now. But Rav Gutzman was a tremendous gadol. At the age of 22, he became a dayan in the Vilna Beis Din, which was mamish unheard of. And he was afraid to pass Kinshalas by himself. He felt he was not Roy L'chach. So Rav Chaim Eiser called him in and said, are we paying you a salary? He says, yeah. He says, well, then you better pass Kinshalas. Otherwise you're a Gazlan. And Rav Gutzman became a very, very, again, a very chashuv dayan in Vilna, but then there was the Holocaust. So Rav Gutzman used to tell over Rav Maisa that he used to talk to Rav Chaim Eiser. Rav Chaim Eiser was mamish to go to Lazar. He used to talk to Rav Chaim Eiser all the time. And one time, Rav Chaim Eiser used to walk a lot for his health. He would take walks, and every block or so, he would pull out a little notebook and write a sentence and put it back in. And from there, the Achiezer was—he just for thinking, learning, and would write something. You know, that's how he wrote. You know, he got his sefer. But one time, they were walking in like 1938 or something, and Rav Chaim Eiser was talking about grass and mushrooms and how do you tell a poisonous mushroom and what's not a poisonous mushroom and this grass, you know, a human can eat. Rav Gutzman, you know, didn't want to say anything. He's got a lawyer. He's not going to ask him, why are we talking about grass? But he just listened. You know, it didn't seem like he couldn't understand. And then the Holocaust, Rav Chaim Eiser died already in 1940. Then the Holocaust came. And Rav Gutzman was not in a concentration camp for 5 years. For 5 years, he was in hiding around Vilna. He was a partisan for a while. He actually was a fighting partisan. And he and his family would have starved to death, but he lived off the grasses and the mushrooms. And there were other partisans who did the same thing, and they died. Mushrooms are extremely, if you beat the wrong mushroom, you die right away. I mean, a mushroom can kill you. And he was a bucky in the mushrooms. How did he know? I don't know how he knew, but it was like a Ruach HaKadosh that he was going to tell him about it, and this and that. So Rav Gutzman realized that this is talking, even the Sichas Chulin of the Talmud Chacham is tremendous limit. Now, the end of the story was, like, after, you know, 5 years of hiding, the war was over. And Rav Gutzman went to find food, find bread for his children, his wife. And he saw one Beis Medrash in Vilna that wasn't destroyed. And there were a bunch of Svarim in the Beis Medrash. Augustine didn't have Svarim for 5 years. He learned whatever he learned about that. So he's with his wife, he's with his Rebbetzin. And, you know, he was going to force himself to look for the bread. He has to get food for them. But she saw there was such a pull. She said, you go, you can learn for a while. You know, she let him go to the Beis Medrash for the rest of the day. But this is such an example of Rav Chaim Eiser, of the Sichas Chulin of his Talmud Chacham. It's also something that you learn from. Now, then it says, right, her mouth is open with Chachma, thus meant even the Sichas Chulin. The Tairas Chesed, oh, by the way, because of this, Rav Gusman had a minhag when he started his yeshiva in Rechavia. He had a garden, and he always watered the garden every day. He himself personally watered the garden. Because he said he was mechuyev in akara sataiv, it's not the same grass, but to the grass, because the grass kept him alive for all of those years. So he was metapel. So ad kidei kach, they still have a garden, and the Rosh Hashiva, who is a good son-in-law, waters the garden. He does it himself. It's kind of together. Okay, that was like the minhag of the family. Yeah. Now we come to the second part of the pasuk. Pia pasul b'chachma, v'tayras chesed al l'shayna. Now again, l'fi pshuta shel mikra, that we're talking about a woman, a wife. So tayras chesed refers not so much to tayra. Tayras chesed means the law of kindness, meaning to say she lives a life of kindness and of giving and of chesed. So tayras chesed. L'fi pshutai, without the gra, you would not say it's going on taira. Taira's chesed means chesed. But the gra, again, learns differently. And the gra really has, he says like this, he has an unusual interpretation. Taira's chesed means you're lomeid l'shem shamayim. You're lomeid l'shem Hashem, and not for kavod, and not for aisher. Now, why would that be called taira's chesed? So the Gra quotes a Zayar. Now the Zayar is not on this pasuk, isn't he? The Gra is taking the Zayar and applying it to this pasuk. The Zayar says, Ezeyu chasid. Who is a chasid? Which is even greater than a tzaddik. The Zayar says, Shemischased imkono. He does chesed to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now obviously that's a borrowed term. Because you can't do chesed to Hashem. Hashem has everything. But it means that just like human chesed means I do something without any hope of getting something back, so too, when you're mischased imkono, that means you're doing it without the expectation or reward or kavod or anything else. Mimela, the Gra is taking the Zayar. Okay, the Gra is taking the Zayar and saying, Tairas chesed means you're lomeid l'shem shamayim. And in truth, though, I mean, he has even a better ride. I don't know why he brings the Zayar so much, because he brings the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah itself asks, look what the Gemara in Sukkah says, V'chi yesh Torah shel chesed, v'yesh Torah she'eno shel chesed. What is Tairas chesed? There's a Tairah of chesed, Tairah not of chesed? Ella, Tairah lishma is Tairah shel chesed, and shelo lishma is Tairah she'eno shel chesed. Again, the Zayar, I think, is really explaining the Gemara in Sukkah, based on the Zayar. In other words, the Gemara in Sukkah says, Tairas Chesed equals Lishma. So the question is, what's the connection between Tairas Chesed and Lishma? So the Gra, I think, is bringing in the Zayar to say that if Chesed means you're Mischased Imkono, we understand why that's Lishma, because you're doing it for Hashem without any hope of getting, or motive of getting anything back. Okay. Now, he then says that the two parts of the pasuk are mekusher. The reason why the Talmud Chacham is filled with Chachma is because he's learning Lishma. Meaning, because it's a Tairas Chesed, that gives him the Madrega of Pia Pascha B'Chachma. What's the pshat? And again, he's going to bring some references. It's good, I sometimes... You know, the Gemara may say something, but if you look at the Rayas, and the Rayas seem very hard to pierce, so I just want to show you an example of how he builds the Hanukkah by combining a lot of different Mamari Chazal. But essentially, the Gemara says, the Chachma of Torah, What is the Chachma of Torah? So the Chachma of Torah is primarily a deep Havana of Torah. It's not just knowledge. The Chachma is the ability to understand the Yesodos of Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up that Koach of Chachma, primarily based on the Shema, which the Gra says here, I'll talk, that's worthy of talking as well. The Gra seems to say Torah Lishma in Masechet Sukkah is equivalent to Torah L'Shem Shemayim. Now it's interesting. The Gra's Talmud, the Nefesh HaChaim, may be Dafka not learn, I'll mention that later, but at least the Gra says, Tairas Chesed is Mischased in Kona, which is Tairah L'Shma, which is Tairah L'Shem Shamayim, and that is why it's Pia Pascha B'Chachma. And where do you see that only Tairah L'Shma, you're saying, huh? The Gemara in Sukkah does say Beferish that Tairas Chesed is Tairah Lishma. That's a comment the Gemara itself makes. The Gra explains why does the Gemara equate Tairas Chesed with Tairah Lishma, because the Zohar says that a Chesed, which he's learning is connected to Chesed, is Mischased in Kona, meaning he's doing it for Hashem as a favor, as it were, meaning he's not hoping to get anything out of it, and therefore he says it's L'Shem Shamayim, and that's what the Gemara means by Tairah Lishma, that Tairah is L'Shem Shamayim. And then he says that it's the Lishma of the Tairah, the L'Shem Shamayim of the Tairah, that gives you the kayach of chachma, that even your sichas chulin is going to be infused with chachma. And in this connection, he brings two mamorim. Well, he doesn't say it's the shame to Vegas, but he says you're doing it, at least in a negative sense, only to serve Hashem and not for ulterior that's what he says. I'll mention Rav Chaim Volozhiner shortly. He brings like this. He brings, again from Isaiah, there's a famous pasuk in Yeshayahu. It's one of the Haftarahs. Kol habasir habasar chatsir v'chol chasto kitzitz hasadeh. That's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. And it's describing the fragility of man, how insignificant human beings are. It says, kol habasar, all flesh, human flesh, chatsir is grass, v'chol chasto, and all of the great chesed that people think they're doing, is kitzitz hasadeh, is like the withering flowers of the field, like that dry up in one day. That's a pasuk. The Zohar says, what does it mean, kol basar chatzir? The Zohar says, it doesn't mean, like we would translate it, all humans are like grass, but it means the humans eat grass. What does it mean a human eats grass? That when they eat the bread of Torah, they're just consuming the grass, meaning they don't get chachma from it. It's like eating grass. And why don't they get chachma from it? Because their chesed is worthless. Why? Because whatever they do for themselves. Meaning they don't. That's it. So you see how he's learning that. Why is what they eat only grass instead of bread? Because their chesed is illusory. It's non-existent. It's kitzitz hasadeh. Kol diavdin, whatever they do is legarmayu. Legarmayu means they do for themselves, avdin. So in the Mela, the Gra says, if indeed the Zohar touches up the pasuk, that instead of the lechem of Torah, you're eating the teben of Torah, because you're not doing it l'shem shamayim, that's the negative of the meaning of the pasuk, that when you do it l'shem shamayim, you're zeichet to the chachma of Torah, which is called lechem. Right? There's lechem and there's teben. In grain, there is the seed from which you make bread, seed, and then there is the teben. Chatzir is the teben of the grain. Why? Because kol ma'idi avid l'gamayro. Now then he brings another mimer, which seems to be a bit of a mystery. And he brings the Gemara in Bava Basra, Kol HaReitza L'Hachkim Yadrim. Anybody who wants to be a Chacham should go to the south. Remember the Gemara. The Gemara says, okay, this Parsha, that the Menorah in the Mikdash is in the southern wall, and the Shulchan in the Mikdash or the Mishkan is in the northern wall. So the Shulchan is a symbol of Parnasa, Bracha, Lechem Aponim. The Menorah is a symbol of the Or HaTorah. So the Gemara says, you see from here, that the direction of Torah is south, and the direction of Parnasa is north. And the Gemara is indicating by Tefillah. So if you want to daven for Torah, you daven to the south. Now again, all the Rishonim explain, you're mechuyev to daven if you're not in Yerushalayim, in the direction of Yerushalayim, and if you're in Yerushalayim, you're mechuyev to daven in the direction of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? So wherever you are, you have to face the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but you try to incline a little bit, meaning to say, your dominant direction is always the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but if you need Parnasa, you go a shtickle north. And if you need Torah, you go a shtickle to the south, and that's the remez of the menorah and of the shulchan. People ask Kasha Stamazai, how come there are two symbols of Torah, right? Because the Aron HaKodesh is also a symbol of Torah, and that's center, right? That's not Sofon or Doron. But the Nitziv, and actually the Gush Yarib says it also, that the luchais are a remez to Torah Shebichsav. And the menorah is the remez of the kayach of Torah Shebalpeh, which is the chachma of Torah. Now, when I read this, I couldn't figure this out. I mean, I understand everything until this point, but what is the Gra proving from HaReitza L'Hachkim Yadrib? What is he bringing in this mimer b'chlal? But I looked in Brichot Yom, these annotated editions, and look at a mafteach, and you can look at other places in the Perush where the Gra brings this mimer. And it's interesting that in the beginning of the Sefer, he's actually Masber al-Pi Kabbalah, although I don't know what it means with Derech Nigla either, that Doraim is the direction of Chesed, and Safon is the direction of Gevura. So, HaReitza L'Hachkim, you want to be a Chacham, go to the Doraim, which is Chesed. And that's exactly it. Pia Pascha b'chachma, when it's Teiras Chesed al Lashena, right? So that's what he's. So he's not always Madri. The Perish is Vadai Soimech on what he said earlier. That he doesn't always tell you that it's totally says it. But earlier he was Mazber that Darain. Again, I can't say why that's true either. I mean, I could say a little bit. The reason why Tzafain has a Shaychus to Din, number one, Bavel is described as Mitzafain Tipasach Hara. But also, Tzafain is the direction in which, in the northern hemisphere, which of course Eretz Yisrael is, the sun is invisible. Meaning to say, the sun is never over the horizon in the north part of the sky. Meaning, the way the sun goes, the sun rises in the east, and then it goes south, and it sets in the west, and the sun, actually it's the earth turning, but you know, the apparent movement of the sun along the north is always at night. In fact, the word Safon is connected to hidden. The reason why north is called Safon is because the sun is hidden. And since the light is a dimion for chesed, so when there's hester panim and midas adin, we say it's connected to Safon. Doraim is when the sun is at the highest point in the sky. Now, the sun rises in the east, but at noon, it's really, okay, noon is directly overhead, but at least until it gets to that point, it's in the southern part of the sky, and therefore it represents a maximum of chesed. And therefore, HaReitza L'Hachkim Yadrim, you want the midah of chesed, I'm sorry, you want the midah of chochma, you have to be Isaac b'chesed, but again, The way the Gra is learning Chesed, it's not so much the Bein Adam L'Chavero of Chesed, but Mischased Im Kono, in which you learn Torah L'Shma. Now, here's the thing. And those of you, I'm sure, over the years, you've either learned or you've heard Shmuzin or Shiurim on the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner's Sefer of basic Hashkafa, although it's a Sefer Kabbalah, too. And Reb Chaim Volozhin wrote the Nefesh HaChaim actually at the time of the rise of Hasidus, right? The Grad put Hasidus into Chayrim, and Reb Chaim Volozhin was trying to have a more gentle approach, but he was trying to show various Teusim that he thought were within Hasidus, as well as give a general Hashgacha. And in Shar Dalit, which is the part that's most often studied in yeshivas, people tend to skip the first three Sharim, Tefillah, you know, that's not so important, you know, we go straight to the Torah. Yeah, I mean, the other Sharim are important too. But Shar Dalit is a long, long Shar, more than almost 40 Prakim, he's 38 Prakim, on the tremendous Chashivas of Limud HaTorah. And he brings 63 passages from Zayir. He brings all sorts of Sifrei Kabbalah, Kisvei Arizal, besides all the Ma'amari Chazal, and the Godless of Torah, how you're Mesakin Ailamais. And in fact, you could really say it's the manifesto of the Yeshiva movement. It's the Kamata mission statement, because Reb Chaim Volozhin says that don't think it's only if you learn something that's Nogel Maisa, and don't think only if it's going to tell you a halacha, even if it's Mamish Eitzir, that's not going to happen in a million years. The Etzem Limud creates a Devekus Bashem. But in the middle of the, actually not the beginning, in the beginning of Shar Dalit, he devotes a very long arichas into what do we mean by Taira Lishma. Because there were Mevakshe Hashem, and that's a polite term for Hasidim, Mevakshe Hashem, who said that the Iker Kavana you have to have when you learn Taira is you have to learn Taira with a conscious Machshava, to be Dovok in Hashem. You have to be thinking about Hashem while you're learning.
And before you learn.
No, I'm talking about what they said. I'm telling you, Reb Chaim said it was a mistake. I'm telling you what Reb Chaim is criticizing a certain day.
How is it possible to have a conscious mind while?
Well, this is what he was saying. This is really Reb Chaim's time. So he says, as a result, he said, there were people who weren't learning at all. They were saying Tehillim all day. They were saying Sifrei Musar all day. They were saying, oh, HaKadosh, they were talking to Hashem all day with a lot of passion, because they felt, why should I learn to get into Devekus? I'll do Devekus directly. But Rav Chaim Taina, that's a tremendous tais, because he says like this, he's Mechalek, the Mishnah, the Braisa in Adorim says, Asei Devorim L'Shem Payalan, do mitzvahs, L'shem the Creator. Do mitzvahs L'shem Hashem. V'daber bahen, but speak words of Torah L'shma. Now L'shma means for her sake. Her is Torah. It doesn't say, Reb Chaim says, by mitzvahs it says, do mitzvahs L'shem Hashem. Torah L'shma, he says, is L'shem Torah. Now what do we mean L'shem Torah? Reb Chaim Volozhin says, when a person learns, the only conscious kavana he should have is, I want to understand the Torah. That's his diuk. It doesn't say l'shem shamayim, it says l'shem Torah. Now, he does talk about the role of Devekus. He says that is important, but he says that pumfiker, because if a person thought that the idea of limud haTorah is bi'ikr, that I should be consciously dovuk in Hashem in that way, then, you know, a lot of times a person's going to feel, oh, this, I have to go through this Ramban, this Ketzais, this Nesivas. This is not making me feel spiritual. I don't feel that spiritual doing this. He says, no, you don't have that kavanah at all. Devekus is happening to you. Your neshama is vadai davuk. You become a different person. But you can't consciously be thinking about that while you're learning, because then you're not going to be shakua in the etzim learning. Now, Rav Chaim Volozhin is maida, that avada, a person should try not to learn for gaiva, for kavod, because that's also a stira, because when you learn just to understand, mainly you don't have the other kinds. But Rav Chaim says, again, Rav Chaim says a very fascinating halacha. He says the following idea, that a person does need to set aside time before he learns, and even in the middle of the learning, brief hapsakas, in which he's misbinding on a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And should even be mispalel that my Torah should bring me closer to you. But how much time do you give to that? So Reb Chaim says a brilliant dimyon. He says, the Gemara in Shabbos says that on the Pasuk, Yiras Hashem hi Yitzarai, Yiras Hashem is the treasure house, the warehouse. So he says that, you see, Chazal call the Torah grain, and they call Yiras Hashem the storehouse of the grain. Without a storehouse, the grain gets eaten up by the mice, or it gets spoiled. So he says, the Mishnah says in Bava Metzia, that if you look at a storehouse as a type of preservative, it preserves the grain. So the Mishnah says, when I sell you a certain measure of grain, I'm allowed to have up to 1/24 of the soil, which keeps the grain fresh. In other words, if you order a, whatever it is, 2,000 pounds of grain, a ton of grain, I'm allowed to give you 1/24 less, because I could be ma'arev in the grain, the dirt that is considered to preserve the grain. So if Yiras Hashem is the preservative of Torah, Rav Chaim suggests that 1/24 of your learning time should be devoted to Dveikus. So if you think about this, this is actually the makor of the half an hour Musar Seder. That's how you get a half an hour. Because if you assume a person learns, huh? I don't know how much they do here. You know, in Europe, the traditional Musar Seder was a half an hour. Because again, if the three starim add up to 12 hours, and that's what it was in Europe, so Mamela, 1/24 is a half an hour, right? That's the makor, it's gecheshbons. But again, so the point is, like this, I'm just thinking out loud. I mean, the point is, if Rav Chaim Volozhiner learns in the Nefesh HaChaim, and he's very emphatic about this, that Torah Lishma is not referring to a kavana of Dveikus. Dveikus happens, but it's not something you think about, because then you won't be able to, exactly as you said, you won't be able to go be'ian into the sugya. But Lishma is not L'shem Hashem in a conscious way, but Lishma is L'shem Torah, Havana Satorah. So I'm just thinking, if there's a shtickle stira here, that the Gra is identifying the Gemara in Sukkah, Torah Lishma, he identifies as L'shem Hashem. But maybe, you know, it's not really a stira, because for care, even if you're not, in other words, Rav Chaim says, before you learn, you have to be mechaven your kavana for Hashem. So he's also saying it's L'shem Hashem, but he's simply saying the conscious thought that you're involved in while you're learning will not be. No, he doesn't say. He doesn't say the Vegas at all. Now, still, I just want to point out that you do find little Ramazim. For example, it's notable in the Rambam. In the Rambam, in the Perush of Mishnayos, you know, he explains the Mishnah, and he'll often begin. If the Mishnah says a din, he'll often begin with quoting the pasuk that is the makor of the din. So the Rambam will say, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's very significant, because normally we would say, the Pasuk says. The Rambam doesn't say, Ne'amar v'Pasuk or Shenemar. The Rambam says, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the pshat? As the Rambam says, when you say a Pasuk, you don't just say, oh, the Torah says, like the Torah is a talking book. No. It's Hashem. So in your learning, there are little reminders, so to speak, that this is the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or even with Baruch Ber, I mean, you know, different Rosh Hashivas, they would say, the Heilige Abaya, you know. Or Baruch Ber would say, Svarla, because he would say, according to Abaya, the Kavana of the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, when he said, the Shalichas is, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like you bring in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that indirect way, so you're margish that it's a Torah Hashem, mamash. Yeah.
Thinking about getting stuck? Does that interfere, or it's a...
Well, let me put it this way. The Gra's going to talk about that. Actually, I mean, that is called Shelo Lishma, because L'chaira does interfere. Because even though you might say, well, how does thinking about getting sechar interfere with L'shem Torah? The answer is because your kavana is no longer just to master, to understand the Torah. Your kavana is to get something.
Okay, so it's the Torah that you're learning is both, L'shem and Shelo Lishma.
Yeah.
It doesn't take away from the fact that it's L'shem also.
Well, why would it be L'shem if it's Shelo Lishma? I mean...
You're having too much of this at the same time.
Well, because I cut you. Well, Okay, we'll see. It's not the highest madrega. I mean, avada, it's a great mitzvah. By the way, in Sifrichas, it's Rav Ram ben Agra. I don't know if the Gra says it, but they say in the name of the Gra's son, when it says, Li'aylam yomid adam taira shalol lishma, shemitaych shalol lishma yavay lishma. Right, everyone knows that name of Chazal. It's good to learn taira, even shalol lishma, because from learning shalol lishma, you will come lishma. Right, so the Pashka says that the Torah itself will bring you to a lishma. But Rav Ram ben Arambam has a very nice new translation. He says, when you learn Torah shalol lishma, it has to be with the desire that you'll eventually be lishma. In other words, you should learn Torah shalol lishma. It's part of your thought process. Shem mitoch shalol lishma yavo lishma. Meaning, you should have the desire that I should come lidei lishma. Because if you don't have that desire, he says, you're not going to get there. The shalol lishma is not going to bring you to lishma unless the mitaych shalol lishma is what you're thinking. That I'm learning shalol lishma, so I will be brought to a lishma. Okay. All right, so that's the pasuk of Pia Pascha B'chachma, that one is zaycha to the chachma satayra. No, he doesn't bring it. But it's very interesting. He does not bring the Gra that much in Nefesh HaChaim at all. Now, there's Nefesh HaChaim, he doesn't bring the Gra Kimat at all. Now, maybe, I don't know, it's hard to say, maybe since Nefesh HaChaim was written to convince Chassidim, so they were upset at the Gra. The Gra was very, very sharp. So maybe he didn't want to use the Gra as a raya. In fact, the emphasis, to a large degree, what the Nefesh HaChaim was trying to do is he was trying to use the svarim that Chassidim relied upon to make the case against their hashkafa. They based it on Kabbalistic sources. He wanted to use the same sources to show the other side of it. Well, it's hard to say, because it seems to be, at least the hashkafa of the Nefesh HaChaim and the hashkafa of the Gra, is like this. Since Kutri Baruch Hu V'Yairaisa Chadu, so it's not shayach to be dovok in Hashem and not be shakua in Torah. Because Torah and Hashem are considered to be one. And Mimela, I'm not dovok in Hashem if I'm not dovok in Torah, right? It's a logical impossibility. Many of the early Hasidic sources looked at Torah as a means, as an emtsoi, to be dovok to Hashem. Once you're dovok, okay. Now we then come to the next pasuk. Again, we're going Aleph Beis, of course. Sofia halichais besa. Right, Sophia is like Harat Sofim. She oversees the goings on, the pathways of her house, of her family. Right? So the Pshuta Shel Mikra, the wife is concerned for everything going on in the bayis. V'lecha matzlos lo socheil, and she never consumes bread out of laziness. Meaning everything in the house is based on working and being mesader things, and she doesn't let things slide. So the Gra again says, going with the Eishes Chayil is the Baal Taira. Let's start at the second half of the pasuk. What is Lechem Atzlus? Now remember, over and over again, I mean, the Gra uses it based on many psukim. Taira is called Lechem. Taira is called Lechem. It's called Mayim, and it's called Lechem, because it's the basic nutrition of a person. However, what is Lechem Atzlus? So he says the analogy is this. When Chazal say, Imein Kemach, if there is no Kemach, right, if there is no flour, there is no Torah. And if there is no Torah, there is no Kemach. Now, what would that mean, Stamazai? What that would mean, Stamazai, is Kemach is Parnassa. So if you don't have a Parnassa, you're not going to be able to learn. But if you don't learn, what's the use of your parnasa? It doesn't mean anything. Right? That's the prashas. The Gra learns a little differently. The Gra learns that kemach is when you take the Torah that you learn and you grind it in very fine particles, meaning you go over it again and again and again and again to understand it. So kemach, that which is finely ground, means you've gone over it and chewed it up till you understand it. So a main kemach means, if it's a totally different shot, if you learn superficially without trying to understand, you don't grind your flour well, ain Torah, you don't really have Torah. Torah requires that you grind it into flour. Now, what's the other mimer? Ain Torah ain kemach actually means that if you don't absorb a lot of yedias, you just kvetch all the time. In ain Torah, ain kemach, you're not going to have anything to grind up. In other words, it's creating the paradox that we find in our learning, that on one hand, you have to work and chazer and understand. On the other hand, you also have to cover ground. Because if you still stand, if you stay with one daf your whole life, that's what we call inane Torah in kemach. You don't have enough ideas. Now, ideally, does the Gra say it here? Where did he say it? One second. Yeah, he doesn't say it here, but he said earlier in the Sefer that he says, again, it's a question about what we do today. He says that when a person is benarusai, whatever age that means exactly, he needs to work on getting Torah. And Bisiknusai, he works on the kemach, meaning the idea was that a person should amass a lot of yedios in Torah, and then when you're older, you're able to take all the different things that you learn and put them together and be ma'ayin in it. So lechem atzlus is a bread. Again, the imagery would be, imagine somebody who decided to make bread without making flour. Actually, you would just take the kernels without grinding them and just press them together and put them in the oven. That's the bread of atzlus because you didn't go to the tircha of grinding it up. So lechem atzlus is the person who is not ma'ayin. They learn b'shtachias. They learn superficially. They learn without ian. And therefore, lechem atzlus lo seichel, the true Talmud Chacham, does not eat the bread of laziness, but rather he is tochein heite, to be mitzi the din li'amite, and he fulfills the Maimer Chazal, that without kemach, you don't have Torah. And that is lechem atzlus lo seichel. And the Gra says that this is actually the basis of a common expression. Maybe you remember it from the Gemara in Sukkah. It says, man diomar ha lo chash lekimche. It's an expression. A person who says such a thing, he's not paying attention to his flower. What type of lashon is that? So the Gra says it's a beautifully medulic lashon. Kemach is when you take the ideas that you have in Torah and you analyze it and you go over it and you masticate it and you grind it down. So one Amara would say to another Amara, if you're not thinking right, if your svar is krum, you haven't ground your flour finely enough. Leichach lekimche. Right? The lashon is a perfect description. Now, he then brings another example. So that's one Amorak put down, right? Man diomar ha lechach lekimche. Then he brings another expression, which is a bit of a put down, a shtach, Gemara in Shabbos. Atu rabach katal kane biagma. Is your Rebbe a person who cuts reeds in a field? Meaning the one of the designated names for an Amoritz is somebody who cuts reeds in a field. What's the shaychus? I mean, why would a reed cutter be especially ignorant? Why would you call that the sign of an ignorant person? So here, once again, the Gra doesn't explain it here. You have to, like, hey, again, I have to check the Mafteach and go back. But he explained it in an earlier part of the Sefer this way. He says that, let's say it's a cold winter, it's very, very cold, right? So I need firewood. So if I'm willing to put in the effort, I'll cut down big wood, big trees,
then I'll chop them up into small sticks, and I'll be able to get warmth. But if I'm lazy, and I don't want to have to cut down a big, heavy tree, and I don't want to then cut the tree, you know, it's hard to cut trees, you know, wood into small pieces, I might just figure, I'll just cut the reeds. The reeds are already thin. They're like pre-cut. I'll cut a lot of reeds and put it in the fire. But the problem is, if you put reeds in a fire, they burn up in like 1 second. They don't give you any heat. It's like putting grass in a fire. You can't keep a fire going with grass because the grass gets burnt up, you know, right away. So memela, when a person is too lazy, now it's a different metaphor than grinding up flour, but it's the same thing. If a person is too lazy to chop up the wood and he relies on shortcuts like cutting the reeds, he's not going to get the warmth of Torah. In other words, the Vilna Gaon is making the point that Chazal used two metaphors about a person who learns superficially. One is he hasn't ground up his flour to make nutritious bread. And the other is he's not willing to cut the trees down to give him heat. So one is using Torah as food, and the other is using Torah as warmth and light and heat. Here, of course, since the term that Shlomo HaMelech uses is lechem, so the appropriate mashal would be kemach. And lechem atzlos loisechel means that she does not rely on shortcuts or laziness, but she will always grind her flour to understand. Again, this was the, the Gra says in Pesach Halacha, one always has to go back to the Gemara and the Rishonim and try to be Maisi the Halacha directly from Sugyas, and one should not just rely even on the Shulchan Aruch. Now again, in our Madrega, we of course do rely on the Shulchan Aruch. But even then, just to apply the Shulchan Aruch, good. We're not going to be like the Gra, none of us are not going to be that. We're going to be Machriya Kenegid the Shulchan Aruch, you know, based on Gemara and Rishonim. But to apply the Shulchan Aruch, a person has to know a Sugya. It's not shaykh. You know, we sometimes create an artificial segmentation between the lamdin who understands the iyun of a sugya and the posek. Now, in reality, in one way, the correlation definitely is true. In other words, not every Rosh Hashiva can be a great posek, or is a great posek, simply because they're not always ma'ayin in the maskana of something. But I think it is... It's hard to say, but I think at least in basic logic, it would be fair to say that one cannot be a great posek unless one is also a great lamdan. You can be a great lamdan and not a great posek because a lamdan may not be interested in investigating the facts. He may not go, you know, to the tefillin factory or whatever it is. But it's not shayach logically to be a great posek in halacha without being a lamdan. Because without being a lamdin, you don't understand the logic and the svaras and the shitas. So maybe you memorize things. The person might memorize all sorts of things, but he wouldn't know how to properly apply it unless you understand the svaras. Okay, so the greatest paiskim were also phenomenal lamdonim. The Night of Yehuda, Rabbi Kiv Eger, the Chassam Sefer. Great, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Yashiv, the Shlomo Zalman, these were not just people who memorized a lot of tshuvas. These were people who had mastered the amkas of all the sugyas in Shas. So that's lechem atzlus. Lechem atzlus means the need to grind up your flour and not be superficial. But again, as I indicated, the Gra learns on both sides. Imein kemach, if you don't grind up your learning, you don't really have Torah, but it ain't Torah. You don't have Yedias, ain't Kemach, you have nothing to grind up. Now, where he says this is, if you look back, if you have a Mishlei, look back on Terek Vav Pasuk Ches. It's kedai to go back in this a little bit, although it's not directly Nogeya, this Pasuk. Terek Vav Pasuk Ches. Actually, if you go back to Pasuk Zayin, this is a very famous, or Pasuk Vav, this is a very famous part of Mishlei. It's entered the English language. Leichel nemola otzel, go to the ant, lazy person. Look at how great the ant is. Riei Dracheha, look at her ways, Rachakom, and you will become wise. Hasher Ainla Katsin Shoteru Mosheo, the ant does not have a supervisor or a boss. Nobody's bossing the ant. And yet, this is the pasuk I want you to look at, Tochin Bakayetz Lachma, she prepares in the summer her bread for the winter. In other words, the ant is gathering little crumbs throughout the summer to store up for the winter. Eg Ogra Bakatsir Machala, she gathers in the katsir during the harvest, Machala, what she'll eat. So the Gra is, focuses there on what is the repetition here. She prepares in the kayetz her lechem, and she gathers in the katsir her maicha. Most of us would just say that's just a repetition. In other words, the ant gathers in the summer that which it will need in the winter. But what's the repetition? So the Gra points out, it's a very, very ingenious interpretation, the Gra points out that katsir and kayetz are actually not the same. They're two different seasons. Katsir is the first part of the summer when you gather the grain, and kayetz is the end of the summer when the fruits have dried throughout the summer and you're almost ready to bring it in. So he says like this. He says, in the early part of your life, you just gather the food, ugra. You don't prepare it. You don't grind it up into flour, ugra. So what it's saying is, she is able to prepare her food in the later part of the summer because she has gathered it in the early part of the summer. So the Gra says, when you're young, again, he doesn't give us an age, unfortunately, so I can't. When you're young, you gather, you learn a lot of ideas, you try to take in a lot of Torah knowledge. Then when you have that Torah knowledge, you're then able to analyze and be ma'ayin. So preparing the bread is the kemach. And the agra is the idea. Now, this doesn't mean just learn bekiyas, because again, the person learns bekiyas without chazara, they really haven't, they're not getting Torah knowledge, they don't remember anything. But it would indicate, again, I'm just saying what the Gra says, I'm not saying what I say, but it would indicate that a person needs to put in a tremendous amount of effort in the years when one's memory works a little better to get as much yedios in Torah that you can get. Learning a lot of Gemara, chazering it a lot, Mishnayos, all of these inyanim. And then the Gra says, when you build up a treasure house of knowledge, which is called Ogra Bakotzer Machala, the ant gathers it up and then prepares it. I'm not sure exactly what the ant does to prepare it, but the Gra is saying there is the gathering of the grain and then there's the grinding of the grain, the kemach, that's the hachana. Say again? Yes, that's exactly right. So I didn't see the particular makaris to the Gra that they cite. Do they have a kundris? Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised that this would be a very, very good makar to that mahalach. Now again, who's young, you know, who's old, you know, I don't know, you know, that's a whole other question. But certainly, you know, kids in seventh grade here in Yeshiva Katanis, you know, don't have to be learning Rav Shimon's and Rav Chaim's and Katsaisa's and Yeshivas's. They should be learning Gemara, Yedias. I mentioned before, Rav Chesed Avramsky, maybe it's a little bit of a shtach, but Rav Chesed Avramsky once saw a younger man was sitting at a table in his medrash, and he had, you know, piled with svarim. So he said to the younger man, he says, how many svarim did you look at in your Seder today? He says, I looked at seven svarim. He says, if you would have learned seven blats in the morning, it would have been much more. He says, much more today. He says, you could learn seven blats instead of looking up seven svarim. Okay, you know, again, these are difficult problems, but I'm just showing you the marker here. And that is imein kemach ein taira. Without havana, you don't have taira. Imein taira, but without yedias, you don't have anything to grind up. Okay. So let's go back.
first part of the pasuk, right, so we were looking at lechem atzlus leisechel, that the Eishes Chayo is not lazy, does not rely on shortcuts, but the Me'ageya to understand. What is Sophia Lichai Spesa? So the Gra here doesn't really connect the two halves of the pasuk. He just says, Mashkeches al tikun besa v'almidas teves. That a Talmud Chacham is always looking in his mishpacha, in his bias, to be mashrish midas teves. So he doesn't ignore. He doesn't ignore that aspect of it. In spite of the fact that he's sogor and dalet amish al halacha, but he's mashgiach for midas teves. In fact, it's interesting that what was the maisa? I don't remember the maisa was. They say the maisa by a few different gedolim that if the kids were behaving wildly, let's say the kids were running around or whatever it is, he let them do it. I think Chaim Kineski says this maisa that he was walking. Chazanish was walking with the stipler. They were brothers-in-law, and Rav Chaim was 6 years old, 7 years old, and Rav Chaim started climbing trees. It wasn't on Shabbos; just during the week, started climbing trees. And the stipler was a little embarrassed. He says, "Chaim, get down, get down, get down." The Chazanish says, "Why are you telling him to get down?" He says, "Well, he's acting wild. He's climbing a tree." So the Chazanish says, "Little kids are supposed to be wild. Let's let them climb the tree." He says, "That's what a child does, and that's how a child gets a sense of goals and accomplishments, you know." So the idea is like this. The Yesod HaDvarim is, what you correct in a child is behavior that if you don't correct, he's going to do when he's a grown-up. So if somebody lies, if somebody is selfish, if somebody doesn't share, those are, unfortunately, behaviors that grown-ups have, too. So, memela, you have to be misakin. That's why the Gra says in the Egeres HaGra, if a child lies, you have to hit him, even. So, chinuch means you have to be misakin when a child is young. Those pigamim that if you're not misakin, he's going to have when he's older. But, you know, adults don't climb trees. You know, if a seven-year-old climbs a tree, you know, he's not going to do it when he's 13, 14, 20. He certainly won't do it at 30 unless, you know, that's his parnasa. He's a tree cutter, works with a telephone company or something. So he says, what's my tayelus? Why do I have to stop a child from doing something? Now, it might bother me, but the aside of chinuch is not that I discipline my children because they're bothering me. I discipline my children because it's good for them. See, mainly, if it's a behavior they're going to grow out of naturally, there's talking no reason to really stop them from doing it. There's such a season. Let them be. Let them do what they're doing, as long as they don't lie, as long as they're not selfish.
You're not hitting your sister,
yeah?
So
No, it is complicated. You're correct, because it depends how generally or specifically you define, I'm not going to do it when I'm older. You know, it may be I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to take a cup and, you know, hit her over the head with it. But there might be other types of rivalry. It's a chachma. I'm not saying it's an easy decision. But the point is, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with children being wild. And in fact, not only is it not intrinsically wrong, there are certain milas. Children learn from playing, and they learn from fooling around, and they learn from climbing trees, etc. And you know, the Chazanish said, this is how a child learns. And that's not a bad thing. But when it comes to midas rice, you have to try to be misakin. Because once midas rice get mushrash, get rooted in a person, they are very, very difficult to correct. Right? So that's where you focus your chinuch.
Is that why the Zomers also have a reputation of being very, very well?
Very well?
Very well.
That might be so. I'm wondering if that's so. I mean, the other alternative is when kids have to sit for many hours, they get,
Rabbi Olevsky said that when he left his house and then he would send letters to his wife.
Yes.
He would ask her if the children are lying.
Right, that's correct. In the Vilna Gaon's letter, remember the Vilna Gaon went to Eretz Yisrael. He didn't arrive. He didn't arrive to Eretz Yisrael, but he thought he would be leaving his family forever. He did come back, but he did send a letter that if the children are lying, you have to
be very, very strong in disciplining them. But that's the only thing he mentioned. He didn't mention anything else. But
why wine more than the other midrashos?
That's hard to know, because what about the other midrashos? I mean, there's Tiberius, there's certainly in Kass, there's many midrashos, but presumably the gra holds that since Chaisonai, the seal of Hashem, is Emes, and Tiberius Emes, so Sheker Bedavka creates, and it's an important harash, Sheker creates a machitza to Torah. Yeah.
Also, it could be like if he, let's say, breaks plates, if the child breaks plates, when he grows up and he starts paying for those plates, he'll naturally start breaking.
He'll naturally start. Okay, okay. That's the concept. Yeah, maybe there's some built-in incentives. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's lechem. That's the lechem asas. Okay. So now we come into that. That's Sofia Alichai Spesa, that a Talmud Chacham has an achrayas to be mashgiach, to supervise the midas tayvais of his mishpacha. He cannot be hefker in this. That he is mechuyev to be Isaac in it in a very direct way. Now, pasuk chapches, Rav Tekuf, kamu vana vayashruha. Her sons or her children will arise, and they will praise her. Baila, her husband, vayahalala, will praise her. So again, this is also going with the idea that the Eishes Chayil is the Talmud Chacham, and the Banim here are Talmidim. Right? This is very important. We find that when the Torah says, v'shinantam levanecha, you shall teach Torah to your children, on one hand, it is a mitzvah saseh that a father must teach his son Torah. There is a mitzvah saseh. But Chazal darshan that banecha has a secondary meaning of disciples. In other words, your banim are your talmidim, which means, in other words, a rebbe is also a father. Shinantam levanecha. Now, mimeila, kamu banecha v'yashrua means that the banim, the talmidim, are glorified by their connection to the Rebbe. Meaning to say, let's say your Rebbe is a great gadol, whatever it is. You get a certain pride. You get a certain chashivas. Wow, I'm in this year, I'm in with this Rebbe, and the like. So he says, the sign of a great Talmud Chacham, it's a sign, or one of the rewards Hashem gives, is that the Talmidim of this great Talmud Chacham are honored. They receive honor by virtue of their connection to him. Meaning to be his Talmud is a kavod, is something that's very, very great. Now, Baila is the Ribono Shel Olam. Again, this is going with the idea that, so again, it's a little bit of a complicated imagery here, because if Eishes Chayil, well, that was the question, Eishes Chayil is the Talmud Chacham. So who's the husband? Wasn't so clear until this point. One would have thought maybe the husband is the Torah, the Talmud Chacham is married to the Torah. But here, for the first time, the Gra says that the Baila, the husband of the Eishes Chayil, is none other than the Ribono Shel Olam. And therefore, Kamu Vana is in Eilam Hazeh. In Eilam Hazeh, as long as the Rebbe is teaching, the Talmidim are Meshabeach, the Rebbe. And Le'olam Haba, it will be the Ribono Shel Olam that will praise the great Talmud Chacham. And this is B'shnei Olamos, therefore, in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba. Now again, in the next pasuk, I'll go back to this, you're going to see a certain confusion. And in fact, there are two comments. One is the standard Nusach, and the other is a Haggah, a separate Haggah, in the name of Rav Menachem Mendel. And that is, Rabbis, banais, asu choyo. Many daughters have done heroically. Many, many daughters are heroes. But viat, you, alis al kulana, you are greater than them all. So here, let me give you the two pshatim that Rav Nachum Mendel brings. If we assume that the Eishes Chayil is the Talmud Chacham that was Zeiche to the Torah, B'mem Ches Terachim, remember Chayil is the Gematria, 48? So what it's saying is this, There are many people who learn Torah. And each of them has some of the 48, but not all of them. So the way you read it is this way. Rabos Bonos, in a multitude of daughters who learn Torah, cumulatively, they have the chayil, they have the 48 ways. This person has, 24, and this person has 25. Rabos Bonos, many people together may have the chayil. But viat, but you, the Talmud Chacham, that was kind of all 48, alisal kulana, you are supremely great, because you're not just sharing the 48 with other people. Right? So according to this, the Shevach is, every person who learns has to have some of the 48. If you didn't have any, if a person would have no aspect of any of the 48, you wouldn't know anything at all. Torah wouldn't penetrate you at all. So everybody who learns one pasuk with Rashi has some shaychus to the 48. Rabos banos, among the multitude, there is the chayo. But viat, but you that was zeche to the whole memches, this is olis al kulana. This is the greatest of all. So according to this, the at, is the Talmud Chacham that was Zeicha to the Memches Derachim. But then, there's a Haggah, I think I mentioned this earlier when we started, there's a Haggah from Rav Menachem Mendel of Shklov, which kind of switches gears, that At, she, you, the She, is not the Talmud Chacham, it's the Torah itself. And here, he quotes the Gra, or at least paraphrases the Gra's saying that it is impossible for a single Talmud Chacham to have all 48 Drachim. And therefore the Torah itself is greater than the ability of any human being to be Masik the Torah. In our world, this is the second shot, in our world, some people have some of the 48, some people have the other 48. And together, we can understand Torah because I could fill in what you lack and you can fill in what I lack. So, b'tziruv, each of us can grow in Torah because we can learn from each other because each person, that's rabos banos, many Talmidei Chachamim can get the chayil. But ultimately, you, the Torah, are above what any one person could get. Because no person, this is the Lashon here, in the Haggah, e efsher sheyiye li'adam kol hamemches. So it seems, looking at these Haggahs...
Maybe this is something the Rebbe used in this day?
Okay, everyone has different editions. It's a little problem. Oh, yeah, that's your regular Megros Gedolos?
Yeah.
No, the Bir HaGra that's printed in the Megros Gedolos is very, very Makuta. It's very Makuta. A lot of things you're missing, but you probably have it right there. It depends on the, again, the basic edition is the same. The basic edition is the same, but all sorts of Haggais are taken in and out and the like. But it seems there are literally two very different pshatim here. According, who is the At? At Alisal Kulana, according to the first pshat, is the Talmud Chacham that's Kona Memches Derachim. In the second pshat, no Talmud Chacham can be Kona the Memches Derachim. And therefore the At refers to the ultimate inaccessibility of the Torah in its highest point.
The beginning
that's what I'm saying. That's why we have two pshatim, right? Is the Eishes Chayil the Torah? Because At is going on Eishes Chayil. But in the first pshat, the At is the Talmud Chacham, and in the second pshat, the At is the Torah itself. Now, again, it's quite peculiar for the Gra, unless the Gra is being modest, for the Gra to make a statement, E Epsher, it is impossible for a Talmud Chacham to be Zocha to Memches Derachim. First of all, if that's the case, then Rav Chaim Volozhiner is contradicting his own Rebbe, because Rav Chaim Volozhiner says in a number of places that Baruch Hashem, he saw in his Rebbe all of the Mem Ches Derachim, Shatayra Niknas Behem. But Rav Nachum Mendel quotes the Groz saying, Eepshin, and maybe the Groz again is as an Anava saying he didn't. You know, there is a Maisa with the Groz. This is a Peladika Maisa that when the Groz finished his beer on Shira Shirin, which is a lot of Kabbalah, it's a very difficult sefer. So he made a special siyum, he lit many, many neiros, and for whatever reason he closed the window, he drew curtains. He didn't want any influence from the outside to permeate. And the Gra was giving Shevach Vaida to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of the Torah that he managed to, that he learned in his life. And he was enumerating it, and he actually said, he's quoted as saying that he reached, says he reached like the ultimate end of everything except for two things. He didn't reach the final, there were Kabbalah, none of Kabbalah, that he didn't reach the final ending of it. That's quite a remarkable statement. He got to the end of it.
The end, or even huh? Like somewhat understanding that? I had a, like some...
No, I think he said he was Magia Ad HaTachlis.
What would that mean? I'd say
the Torah is
financing, you know?
It's hard to know what that would even mean. Yeah, I mean, Zavid HaMelech says, L'chol tichla re'isi kates. I've seen an end to every endeavor, but rechava mitzvascha miyait. But your mitzvahs are broader, meaning there's no end. It's very hard to understand. I mean, just take a simple example. If the Grah claimed he got to the absolute end of it, so why would he learn the next day? Just Chazara? I don't know. Just so he shouldn't forget.
Where does he write this?
It's in that, it was Hakdam of the Pasach Shulchan, do you remember it? In one of the Hakdam of the Pasach Shulchan, so they record that when he sees him of Shir HaShirim, he says there was only two things in Torah he did not have a Havana in. Of course, that itself, I think, would negate the Taina that everything else was to the very end, because the emes is, the Gra says in a lot of places, that if there's anything in Torah you don't understand, your Havana is not complete in anything, meaning it's not Shayach, really, because all of the Torah is connected. It's not shaykh to say, I fully understand this, but I don't understand this. Even if they seem to have no shaykhs, if you don't have a havana in that, you don't have a havana in that. So you don't understand anything. All right, so again, it's a very strange mice, again, for someone to say that, even the Gra, to say he got to the very end, but that's what's recorded in the mice. Okay. Now, the next pasuk, the Gra has a nice arichas here. Sheker achein, vehevel hayefi. Again, lefi pshutai, again, never forget the simple pshats. When you look for a wife, you get married. So the message here is, chein is external charm, someone's charming. They impress you, whatever it is. They're fun to be with, whatever it is. That type of superficial charm is a lie. It's not real. It's a sheker. And yofi is physical beauty, is hevel. Hevel is nothingness. Again, we'll see the difference. Isha yiras Hashem, ki tisalo. Only a woman that has true yiras Hashem, that is what is praiseworthy. Everything else, Hevel, I'm sorry, Chein and Yaifi. Chein is charm, and Yaifi is physical beauty, are called Sheker, lying, and Hevel. Right, so again, so the Pashup Shad is telling you what you look for in a partner in life. But again, the Gra says the following, and this is where the Gra addresses your Nakuda. The Gra says that there are three madregas in Talmud Torah, or in Avodas Hashem generally. There are two types of shelo lishma and one type of lishma. The worst type of shelo lishma is when you're learning for ulterior motives. I'm learning so that I'll get covet. I'm learning so that I'll get a good job even, as a rabbi or Rosh Hashiva. I'm learning to put somebody else down. I'm learning to show this person up. That's a very negative shelo lishma. Now there's a second level of shelo lishma that's very, very different. Do you see the difference? Let's say I learn, so I should get a chelek in Olam Haba. I learn, so that the Ribbono Shel Olam should give me a bracha. Now the Gra says, even though in both cases you're learning for an ulterior motive, but in the first case, the ulterior motive is not mekusher in your emunah in Hashem. If I learn because I want people to give me glory, I'm not using my learning for his karvus to Hashem. If I learn to get Olam Haba, even though that's also shalol lishma, but I'm learning for the purpose of having a relationship with Hashem. So the Vilna Gaon differentiates. They're both shalol lishma, but one is a shalol lishma that is divorced from a kesher to Hashem, and the second is a shalol lishma in which you're makir. That the Gra says, even if you learn, let's say, even Zerah, that you know somebody should get better. That's shalol lishma, but that's the second level because you believe that your learning is because of the tzivoy Hashem. There's a l'shem shemayim there. That's why the Gemara says, if you learn or give tzedaka, al menas sheyichyu b'ni, yichya b'ni, I raise a tzadik gomer, even though it's shalol lishma, but you're a tzadik gomer. So the Gemara says that is the difference in chayin and yaifi. He said this. Chen is that which is superficial, meaning yaifi is actual beauty. Chen is connected to the word chinam. Chinam means nothing is there. It's an illusion. It's a joke. It's a fake. The person who learns just for covet, a person who learns the kantir to put people down, that type of learning is called chayin. Externally, it looks like it's something, but it's chinam. It's sheker. Sheker means utterly false. Now, is the Gra saying it's not a mitzvah? I'll come back to that. That would be a little schwer. Yaifi is level number two. It is beautiful. A person who learns because I want Hashem to bless me, his learning is beautiful because he's maimon in Hashem and he's maimon in the spiritual power of Torah. So it's yaifi. It's not like chayin, which is a total just fake, superficial thing that's not there. Beauty is beauty. If someone is beautiful, they are beautiful. And it's not sheker. It's not false. Sheker means totally false. Hevel, the Gra says, is not the same as sheker. But hevel means, what is hevel? Hevel is breath. Breath. Right? My breath. Now my breath is a reality. When I exhale, there is breath, but it doesn't last. It doesn't endure. It doesn't have a kiyum. So the chayin, the superficial learning in order to get kavod or whatever, is a sheker. Well, chayin is translated as grace, but the way it's being interpreted here is chayin is a superficial charm that you don't really have. You're just fooling people. You're fooling people. Yofi is actual beauty. And the way the... Yes, yofi is actual beauty, and chayin is giving the appearance of something that's nice, that's not really there at all. Okay, so the Gra is saying that the chayin is the person whose learning is just a veneer, it is just a cover-up to get covered. So that's a sheker, that's totally false. What is yaifi is when a person learns because they're maimon in Hashem, and they know that Hashem will give them brachos because of the Torah, that is a beautiful thing. They're maimon in the koach of Torah, they're maimon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But since it is done for an ulterior motive, it's like hevel. Hevel meaning it doesn't ultimately endure. And yiras Hashem is the highest level, when you only learn to fulfill Hashem's will, and you don't do it for any ulterior motive, And that is the thing that's highest. Right? So the Gras sees in this pasuk the three madregas. One is sheker, one is hevel, and one is tishalom. Now, right, there's Yiras Hashem, is the true lishma, which the Gras already identified as learning lishem shamayim. Now, he then brings an interesting grammatical point. The word tishalom, means, it's the binyan in grammar, it's the structure in Hebrew grammar that we call hispael, which is reflexive. For example, lehisrachetz means to wash yourself. Lirchotz is to wash. Lehisrachetz is to wash yourself. Now, in modern Hebrew, in street Hebrew at least, a lot of these distinctions are abandoned. So if you say, ani rachatzti bayom, that means I went swimming in the sea. But if you're a purist, again, most people don't speak Hebrew in a pure way today, you would say, ani hisrachatzti bayom. If you said that, they would think you're crazy. Not that. But in other words, in modern Hebrew, they eliminated a lot of that stuff unless...
It was too complicated.
Listen, you have to remember that Israel has so many immigrants who didn't know Hebrew, so they had to learn a simplified language. So if you know Hebrew only from learning, even if you know Hebrew very well, you know, you'll sound like you live in the Middle Ages. You know, you're speaking Hebrew 500 years ago. Because the modern Hebrew is actually... Although, once again, I'm not so used to it myself, so I have trouble. But it's a much simpler language. I mean, they simplified it to a very, very great degree. So technically, in fact, lehis palel is the same thing, by the way. In fact, there's an interesting issue. Lehis palel, which we always translate as to pray, number one, the root is not even prayer. The root, the shayrish of lehis palel, is pei lamed lamed, which actually means to judge, pelilim, judges, and lehispalel actually means to judge yourself, to engage in a process of self-evaluation, that the purpose of my davening is that I should understand within myself that the Ribono Shel Olam is the makor, of the source of everything in my life. It's not so much to ask Hashem for things. We ask Hashem for things so that we will understand that Hashem is the source. Because otherwise, right, because you know the old kasha, what is the sense of asking Hashem for anything? Are you trying to change Hashem's mind? Hashem knows what you deserve and what you need and what's good for you. How does it help to ask? And the answer that all the Rishonim give is tefillah is not about changing Hashem. Tefillah is about changing ourselves. We become different, and memela, we're zaycha to a different relationship with Hashem. So if I was here and I didn't deserve the brachos, the tefillah changes me. So memela, when I say, Hashem, give me a parnasa, it's not so much that I'm telling Hashem, give me a parnasa. I'm telling myself, it is only Hashem that can give me a parnasa. And when I internalize that, I then become worthy of a bracha of parnasa that I otherwise wouldn't have. Do you see how grammatically it's reflected that way? Lehis palel is to engage in an internal evaluation of what are your priorities in life. So, based on that grammar, although the English translations will not reflect this, the Gras says, Yiras Hashem, Isha Yiras Hashem, Mitzas Halal actually means a woman, and here's the Talmud Chacham, who learns Lishma, Tis Halal should praise himself, Tis Halal, should praise themselves. What do you mean, pray? What does that mean? Are we talking about gaiva? So here, in the middle of an arichas, he suggests two pshatim, two explanations what does it mean the Talmud Chacham should praise himself? One is, it's a specific reference to Olam Haba. The Gra says the following idea, which he knew al pi Kabbalah, that for reasons that, you know, again, are not totally clear to me, when a tzaddik goes to Olam Haba, or anyone goes to Olam Haba, Acherim, there are ministering angels that recount all the mitzvahs and maisim tovim that a person did. So your maisim tovim are declared by others. The others, so there's the angels, will say, you did this, you did this, you did this, you did this. You don't have to remember your maisim tovim. With Torah, you actually say over the Torah that you learned in your life. So that's what Tisa L'Av means, that when it comes to Torah, when it comes to Maisim Tovim, the Malachim enumerate your Maisim. When it comes to Torah, you praise yourself, meaning to say, you say over the Torah that you learned, and the Gra brings that every Neshama is given 180 days to darshan their Torah berabim. And chol tzadikim shomin lo. And all the tzadikim sit around to hear the Torah that you learned. V'al yedei zeh yishalol. And that's how you become praised. And the Gra said this earlier in the Pasuk. Naida b'sharim baila. Again, that's going on. The Talmud Chacham is the husband. The husband gets known when he sits with the elders. That's what he says, his chidushei Torah in Olam Haba. So that's one pshat, that Tishalal refers to the idea that the Talmud Chacham himself will declare his Torah in Olam Haba, and as a result will get praised by his own actions. He then brings another pshat. You know, there's a famous pasuk, it's also in Nigan, actually it's in Mishlei, but it's much earlier. This was in Perikov, sorry, not much earlier, but a few Perikov earlier. Yahalelcha zor v'loy picha. Let strangers praise you, and not your own mouth. You shouldn't be the one to sing your praises. Let other people praise you. Okay, push it. But the Zohar HaKadosh puts the comma in a different place. Yahalelcha zor. Let strangers praise you. V'loy, comma. And if they don't, picha. Praise yourself. That's what the Zohar says. So what's the pshat? So the Gra is not marach in this, but I think the pshat basically is that you have to give yourself chizuk sometimes. It doesn't mean, you know, go around telling people, do you know how great I am? You know, that's not the avoda. But it means that every human being needs to have a sense that they're accomplishing something in life. And of course, learning Torah is the greatest of all accomplishments. But sometimes we don't get the validation of it. If our parents don't support what we're doing, if we have family that may make fun of us and think that we're wasting our lives. So what do you do when everyone's telling you you're crazy? So the Zohar HaKadosh is saying, you got to pat yourself on the back sometimes. You have to say, you know, I've accomplished a lot. I've worked hard. I've grown as a Jew. I've grown as a person. Self-praise is not all evil. Again, we're not talking about being a Baal Gaiva and saying to people how great you are. But if you don't get the Halal Chazor, hopefully other people will recognize the good things that you're doing below, and if they don't, Picha. So pat yourself on the back. That's also Kedai. Right, so that's the notion of Tis Halal, that the Talmud Chacham will get a Chizuk from his Panemius, from his internal life, even if there's not always going to be a chizuk from the outside. Rav Hutner used to say that the person who depends on the approval of other people is worse than a schnorr. You know, a beggar is begging for coins. Here, the person's begging for a compliment, begging that someone should tell him how good he is. You know, it's human. I mean, you know, we all have times like that and moments like that. But ultimately, a person needs to be secure enough in the way he's living his life, that really all that matters is the Ribbono Shel Olam approves of what I'm doing. And if that's so, Baruch Hashem, I'm doing okay. Right? So that's the remez here. Yalel Chazor, Belay, It should be Ticha and
Rebbe.
Imagine
you're missing a star.
Huh? A schnar is a beggar. A beggar who's begging for coins. Well, worse than a schnar because eventually, this is what he says, eventually the schnorrer gets enough money to be satisfied. When you need the approval of other people, you're never satisfied. So, if, I mean, somebody goes over, I mean, listen, okay, I'll mention an example in my, you know, in the case. You know, let's say somebody goes over to me, you know, when I was a rabbi in a show, and they said, your drasha this week was really good. So I think to myself, you know, last week you didn't tell me that. So what's the pshat, you know? Last week wasn't good. You know, it's that type of cycle where no matter what somebody says to you, you know, there's always like, I didn't get enough, right? And this is human nature. So Rav Huttner said, you're worse than a schnorrer. Because once a schnorrer has enough money, you know, he'll eat for the day, you know, he's okay. But this is like never ends, right? So that's why really, I think psychologically, this is actually a very, very important Zohar. That if I'm not getting my praises from somebody else, I need to give it to myself. If I'm doing the Ratzon Hashem, then if I'm doing the Ratzon Hashem, I should feel I'm doing a good thing. I'm doing a good thing. And that's important because often in the world we live in, learning Torah is not necessary. Now this is part of why in the yeshiva world, not so much today, but you know, in Europe, if you ever look at the old pictures of the, particularly in Slobodka, you know, there was such an emphasis on dressing very nicely. They looked very fashionable. Even the hat, the truth of the matter is, although now we talk about the hat as a halacha, but the truth is, the hats originated in the yeshiva world because that is how a well-dressed Polish gentleman, a goy, would appear in the street. You know, until John F. Kennedy, even in the United States, formal dress, not even formal, business dress, regular business dress, you wore a hat. In fact, John F. Kennedy destroyed a whole industry. I mean, the whole, John F. Kennedy took the presidential oath in 1960 without a hat. He wanted to show, even though it was windy in Washington, weather, he wanted to show he was young and didn't need a coat, didn't need a hat. But, you know, it then became fashionable among the Umos Ha'olam not to wear a hat. It wiped out the whole industry. The only people who wear hats, these type of hats, in the United States, are yeshiva Orthodox Jews and blacks for some reason. The blacks like yeah, it depends, but they like they wear yeshivas and hats still. You already say?
Yeah, I
still
read that even before JFK it already started to become less fashionable.
Okay, absolutely, yeah, maybe it's just a caricature, but this is the Shemua. The Velt says that JFK destroyed the hat industry in the United States. But so what I'm saying is that in Europe at a time when yeshiva guys always wore hats, it was fashionable. You always wore ties and very neat suits, and they were tremendously makbid, everything be pressed. Now, what was going on there? What was going on there was this. Number one, B'nai Torah, like most of the Yidden in Europe, were totally dirt poor. Number two, in many, many communities, there was no chashivas for Lomdei Torah. People who were learning in yeshiva were considered to be non-productive people, parasites, people who weren't contributing to society. So the altar of Slobodka, another Gedolim, felt that B'nai Torah had to have a sense of dignity, a sense of chashivas. They had to feel like they were royalty. Now, that sometimes had a downside. It sometimes generated a little bit of gaiva and a little bit of looking down at people, which was not right. There was sometimes a chisaron in midas, of Menagam Bechaveira, right? So it had some negative effects. And even at Ayayim Azah, there are some negative effects. But the aside of that Hanhaga is really this Zayar, that if you weren't getting a validation and a Chashivas from the rest of the world, you're going to beat Sabrachim. If you're going to beat Sabrachim, you're not going to accomplish. So you need to have a sense of your Chashivas. And the Gra brings the Pasuk, Vayigba Libay Bedarchei Hashem, this is by Melech Yehoshaphat, who was a righteous king, his heart was raised, meaning he had a certain pride that he was an Eved Hashem. And that's not a stira to another. Okay, so that's how the Gra learns, just from the grammatical anomaly of tis halo, that you need it. So we have two pshat, and either it means after Me'ev Yisrael, you will be the one that will recite your Torah in Olam Haba. And the other pshat is, even in Olam Hazeh, Yalel Chazor, Baloi, it has to be picha. Okay. And then we have the last pasuk in the Yeshus Chayil. Tanu La. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think Tisala would be translated, she is worthy of being praised. She is worthy. She is living a life. So it's a hispoil because it's referring to the way she is worthy of being praised, but it would still refer to the praises of others. But the Gra is saying Tisala actually means she praises herself. Yeah. And the last pasuk is Tanula Mikriyadeha, give to her, again, now here we go back to the Talmud Chacham, not the Torah, give to her the fruit of her hands, and in the gates may she be praised because of her maisim. Again, the Graz Medayek, this is, he actually mentioned this before, this is why when it comes to Torah, Tishalal, she praises herself, she says over her Torah. When it comes to my sin, the hallelujah, the angels will praise her in the Shari Shamaya. See, that's the basis of the chiluk. But the way he analyzes this pasuk is this. The Gra uses here the Mishnah in Peah. Right, we say it every day after Birchas HaTorah. The second Mishnah. Eilu dvarim sha'adam eichel peireseyem v'yaylam haba, v'yaylam hazeh. There are certain mitzvos that we eat the fruit in this world. Va'keren, and the principle is kayemes, it survives, it endures, li'olam haba. Meaning, the picture you're supposed to have, it's a mental picture here is, that when I do mitzvahs, it's like I get a field. And that field is my principle. And that principle can yield peros every year. And I get the peros every year in this world, but the principle remains intact in Olam Haba. Or like a bank account, right? A bank account would be a more modern example, in which you put, every time you do a mitzvah, these mitzvahs, you get $1 million in a bank account, and what you get in Olam Hazeh is the interest, but the $1 million remains intact. However, that translates into Olam Haba terms. And it mentions a few mitzvahs, right? We know, right? It mentions kibud aviyim, honoring parents, gemilas chasadim, loving kindness, hashkamas beis medrash, etc., getting up to the beis medrash early and staying late. But then it mentions Talmud Torah keneged kulam. So Talmud Torah is said to be the greatest example of eichel peireseihem v'yaylam hazeh. Hashem gives you peros, fruit in this world, but the keren, the principle, remains intact. So he says that's exactly what the two psukim, what the two halves are saying. Give to the Talmud Chacham in this world nipri, the peros of what he created, because he's eichel peireseihem v'yaylam hazeh, and in the sha'arim, sha'arim means the gates of Shemayim. His meisim, that means the keren, the principle that he produced with his meisim, with his Torah, will remain intact to praise him. Right? So one explanation is that a priyadaha is peireseyem b'yaylam hazeh, and the maaseha is the keren kayemes, and that'll still be there to praise him. But then he gives another twist. He says, earlier in the capital, when he talks about how industrious the Yeshus Chayil is, so it says, Nipri chapeha, from the fruit of her hands, nata kerem. Which is an interesting imagery, because what it's suggesting is, she has peros, she sells the peros for money, and buys more land. Which means like this, We differentiate between, so it's like reinvesting stock dividends or reinvesting interest. We differentiate between principal and interest, but you can take the interest and make it part of the keren and then get interest on the new augmented keren. Now the Gra says, when a Talmud Chacham, let's say, receives peros for his Torah, now what would that peros be? Let's say the peros could be anything. It could be parnasa. It could be good health. What does the Talmud Chacham do with the peres that Hashem gives it? He learns more Torah. If he's given health, he'll learn better. If he's given parnasa, he'll learn more. That's at least that's the ideal. Not always, but that's the ideal. So the Gra says, the Talmud Chacham takes the peros and creates new keren from the peros, which in turn will give him more peros, with which he can convert to keren. So instead of saying that the pasuk is two different stages, give him his peros in this world, and in the world to come, his keren will endure, it's describing one process. The Eibishter gives him peros in this world, which he converts to a more keren, a bigger keren, that'll be available for him in Olam Haba. You understand the idea? Because the idea is that the Eibishter gives him a certain reward in this world, but he uses that reward to increase his own learning, in which case, it's as if he reinvested the peros into the keren. Right? It's like instead of living off the interest, right? Let's say you have $1 million in your bank account. So if you make, let's say, raise $5,000 of interest a year, instead of taking the interest and spending it, which leaves you with $1 million, you now have $1,005,000, which will give you more interest next year. You keep on adding the interest to the keren, and eventually, you know, it's going to be up. So Mamela, the Vilna Gaon says, it is the derech of a tzaddik not to simply take the peros, but to use the peres gufa to do more mitzvahs, mais and taivman, and especially Eishes Chayil, he's talking about more learning, and that is basha'arim, and in the Shara Shamayim, therefore, the malachim will take all of his peros and have it added to the maisim, in which he'll get more reward in Olam Haba.
A person earns $1 million a year.
Yep.
He would put, let's say, 100 people in call and get reward for their donation, or he could quit his job and learn himself. What's better?
Okay, well, that's a general question. In other words, that's very, very hard to say. You know, the Chaibus HaLubava says that there is nothing as great as bringing many people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Chaibus would probably say that give it to 100 people so they could learn. But on the other hand, the halacha seems to be that your own learning. If you're able to learn, your own learning has kedima over anyone else's.
Is it anyone already started
supporting them? Oh, I mean, if you already started, yeah, you don't cut it off. You don't cut it off. But if you just won the lottery, and you're specific what to do. Now, on the other hand, it could also depend on the quality of learning. Meaning to say, if you're equal to them, then you have kedima. But if you could support somebody that is a real, real gadol b'Torah. I mean, the Gemara says by a father and a son. The Gemara says that a father is mechuyev to pay for his son's learning. But the Gemara has a mice where the father concluded he was learning better than his son. So he took the money and said, I'm going to use it for my learning. Yeah, because he makes such a judgment. Let me just say one short little mice. This parsha we read today about the idea of building a mishkan l'shem shamayim. So it's a Kabbalistic story. The Panovitcher Rav was a great. Panovitcher Rav was a phenomenally great person in many, many shtachim. He was a phenomenal gadol b'Torah, Talmud Muvik of the Chafetz Chaim, a baki in Shas and Paiskim. He was a tremendous Ohev Yisrael. You know, there were 800 community rabbanim in Lithuania. 800. He was the only survivor. He was the only Rav of a kehila of Lithuania, of Lita, that survived the Holocaust. And because of this, he was obsessed with the idea of building Torah, not just Panovich, but yeshivas and orphanages and hospitals. He felt he had to do something. And there was a reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu enabled him to survive. And he spent much of the year traveling and raising money. And he once said that the biggest korban he made for HaKadosh Baruch Hu were all of the svarim that he could have written had he sat and learned. And instead he devoted his life to be Makadosh Shem Shemayim. So the story goes, and he was also a spellbinding speaker, just tremendous. He had teichen and jokes and stories and maisim, just a very...
What language?
Yiddish, mainly Yiddish. So he came to Chicago. He used to come to Chicago all the time. And he came to Chicago at the same time as a Meshulach from the Navardika yeshiva came. Now, Navardika was a much smaller yeshiva. And when the Navardika Meshulach saw the Panovich Rav, he turned white because he figured, I'm not going to get any money today because I can't compete. So he says, he wasn't even going to ask. He says, okay, I'm going to sit. I'm going to hear a Gavaldiga Shmooze. Okay. So he sits, and the Panovich Rav is Kidarko, brilliant and funny and incisive and emotional and... he's Messiah, everybody, and people are pulling out their checks, and they're going to write very generous donations. At the end of the drasha, the Panovich Rav says, Rabbi Isai, there's a man here from a very fine yeshiva in Bnei Brak, the Vardika yeshiva, very, very chashev, a very good yeshiva. I would just ask you, whatever money you were going to give me, please give him. So suffice it to say that the Meshulach did a lot better than he ever did before. He really did very, very well. And he goes to the Rav afterwards and he says, you know, Rebbe, I'm very grateful. You did me a tremendous favor. But I don't understand. You travel all the way, you know, from Eretz Israel to Chicago. And in those days, you didn't have jet flights. The flight itself, you know, it took like 24 hours. And they were going to give you all this money and you just give it to me? How could you not take it for your mice? So the Panovich Rav said, this is amazing. Panovich Rav says, I don't know what you mean by my mice and your mice. He says, we're all on the same team here. If the money that we raise, 20 people can learn Torah. He says, why do I care if these are 20 people in Panovich or 20 people in the Vardik? Does the Ribbono Shel Olam care? Does it make a difference from HaKadosh Baruch Hu where they are? He says, I collect money so that Yidden will learn Torah and bring Kavod and Nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am equally successful if you get the money because of my efforts or I get the money. And kachavi, this was it. Now, that's an example of Shem Shem. It's very rare. It's very, very rare. But this was the Gedolim. Now, the more modern person who was this way is a person who was often compared to the Panovich Rav, and that's Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel. So that's Alder Shiva of Mir, who really was kind of a modern Panovich Rav in the sense of the yeshivas that he built and the numbers of our Batz Hasayra, that when he used to go to America, he was always guarded. He always had an honor guard of administrators from Mir, because what happened was, you know, he would collect money, he'd go to Lakewood, and a younger man would say a beautiful chabur, he'd say, oh, here's $1,000, you know, you need it for your mishpacha, you know, you're learning, Ner Yisrael, whatever it is. You know, he would just hand out money, because he also had the shita that it's not just Mir, it's Harbatz Hasayra. So anywhere in the world, the money I make, it's for Harbatz Hasayra. So he always had, I think they never let him carry a lot of money around. He used to take it from him. But that's an example of L'shem Shemayim, in which you're not looking at your ego, it's not your kavod, it's not about you, it's about what gives nachas to you. That story, yeah. The Panovich Rav story is not in that book, but in Chanuch Teller's book about Rav Nosson Zvi, yeah, he brings it down. He was just giving money to Lakewood guys and Ner Yisrael guys and Tell's guys.
Yeah, a story that he was in Ner Yisrael and he said, anyone who finishes, I don't remember which was the gets, you know, however much money, and all the people who were with him are like, they made him take it back.
I have to say, in the Maisa, there are some Chashin Mishpachas, meaning Bishlama, the Panovich Rav, you know, he didn't get the money yet, but you know, when people give money for Mir, you know, it's not so much that you could stop as I give it to somebody else. All right, I'm sure he had his Yisayit for doing so. Okay, we'll stop here, so I'll figure out, we're still in the Sefer, of course, we didn't finish the Sefer, we just finished the last paragraph of the Sefer. But what we did, if anyone...
Next week, we're on to chapter 1.
Well, we did chapter 1, so I don't know yet. I'll figure it out. I mean, basically, if you remember, Sefer Mishlei is mechulak into three chalakim. One is Aleph to Tes, and the other is Yud to Chaf Dalet, and then Chaf Hei to the end. So we actually did complete Chaf Hei to the end. We did learn the third book of Mishlei, so I'll figure out exactly. And we did Perek Aleph and Beis, I'm not sure, but... I'll figure out some proper thing to do. Okay.